brought to you by Waddles, guys, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
Yes, sir. HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
We find Wilbon today in Dublin, Ireland. Ooh. He is ready for Northwestern Nebraska.
Here we
Hello,
go.
Michael.
Sir, yes, sir. Going to college football.
So where are you? What time is it there now, and what are you doing?
It's 11:03 p.m. Irish something time. And I'm just finished having dinner, a late dinner with my brother, Don, and my sister-in-law, Allison, and my nephew, Jordan, who are here in Ireland. Don, of course, is an alum. And we let Allison tag along, even though she's a Michigander, even though she's a Wolverine. Very supportive, incredibly supportive. So, you know, there's a bunch of purple people here. And we played golf earlier today at Ballybunion, one of the golf highlights of my life, even though I can barely walk and I shouldn't be out there on a golf course yet. It's just to play that, to be on that kind of links course on the ocean, get a little bit of all the kind of weather that you expect in Ireland that you see on the telly when you're watching, you know, European golf or the British Open. So it's been, you know, it's been a packed 3 days with four more, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, actually three more. And then I'm out of here on Sunday. So looking forward to the game, but the golf is great. Some fellowship, purple people, the usual stuff that, you know, when you go to a game. Tommy knows about this. This is what you get with your alma mater.
You know, we played in Ireland. We played in the Emerald Isle Classic when I was at Boston College. We played Army. The weather wasn't great, but the experience was second to none. I mean, it was fabulous. We had such a good time.
Well, the weather's been great. You know, it's funny. The caddies here, they will tell you how great the weather is. And you're saying to somebody out of the side of your mouth, it's 55 degrees and the wind is 25 miles an hour. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And they have such a great attitude about the weather. Which is great. There's a little sliver of sun. There's some blue. Tee it up. Let's go. It's a great day to be alive. It's a totally different thing than, you know, most people are doing.
Michael, are the locals excited about football being there, or is it something that they're just not, they're not that interested in?
No, they're not that interested, but college football, and I had a wonderful driver bringing me from Dublin Airport to Adair Manor, which I stayed in and played golf at Monday, one of the great experiences in my life. That's where the Ryder Cup is going to be in 2027.
Wow.
And he talked about how college football is starting to catch on, of all things, in Ireland. And the people are in the pubs and they're watching because they've got ESPN.
Right.
And they don't watch pro football. They have no interest in pro football. It was a long talk. It was interesting. It's like being in China in a way. And I said to the guy, he talked about college football, and he had adopted Tennessee. And a lot of people here in Ireland just adopt a college football team. And they go in the pubs, and they watch on Saturday afternoon, and really Saturday night. And their games are over. Their Premier League games, if they're following Premier League in England, their other games, rugby, their things have been played. But they don't do this on Sunday. And I said, so tell me how many pro football players, can you tell me the name of an NFL player? And he's like, I can tell you one. I can tell you Tom Brady. I said, that's it. That's all you got for me. And he said, well, if Peyton Manning was still playing, I could tell you Peyton. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. They have no, and I mean, you can do this person after person after person. And I'm not talking about people who are not interested in sports. I'm talking about people who are neck deep in world sport. And from rugby to soccer to, you know, they're just boxing. They're just into world sport. Give me another football player. I can't. I can't do it. It's an interesting thing, and it's why the NFL continues to try to expand its footprint. But so it's interesting for me to talk to people about these things here. I had a caddy yesterday who just decided a couple of years ago, he's 20 years old, he was going to just know everything about college football in America. And so he's asking me about quarterbacks and coaches. And I'm like, dude, are you crazy? And this was a really sharp kid who had a blown out knee injury playing rugby, and he's now into college football. So to answer your question, there is some interest. Is there fanaticism? No. But there is interest that there is not in other American football.
Are there PTI fans in Ireland?
This they manage to see ESPN. So if you are in a European country where you're not seeing that feed, then no, you have no idea what PTI is. Unless you did at the beginning of the show when ESPN Europe was a thing. But there are a few people who come up to me and say stuff, and they are in the pubs, and they take a little pub break at a certain time, and they'll see a replay of PTI, and they mention it. So it happens. Not often, but it happens.
That's pretty cool. Are you worried about the game that Pat Fitzgerald isn't having the Northwestern players puke as much as the Nebraska players are?
No, I don't get into that stuff. I don't believe in it. I don't get into it. Nebraska is an interesting situation because Nebraska hasn't done anything since firing coaches for going 9-3. Didn't done anything. And, I know that Scott Frost was thought to be the savior. I got dear, close friends at Nebraska who are Nebraska alums, Nebraska, it just neck deep in Nebraska football since with ancestors. And Scott Frost was supposed to be the absolute answer for them, and it's not been that. And I'm not saying it's Scott's fault. I'm not saying he's run out of time. I'm not saying any of that. But, I don't know what our record is. I'm going to say our record against Nebraska in the last 10 years could be 5-5. And they're not world beaters, and they were, and they're not. And I think there have been some mistakes made and some bad judgments rendered. But I don't get into all that. Biting the head off of small animals to get ready for a college football game. That's not my thing.
Is college football in general, in your opinion, Mike, going in the right direction, or are they treading into territory that is confusing and weird?
Tommy, that is a question that we've been talking about here. Well, look, we got two Big Ten schools here, so we got officials and athletic directors and school presidents, and we got the commissioner coming. And the Big Ten is the newsmaker this spring, this summer. Let's face it, the Big Ten is the newsmaker. And I am thrilled on some level that the powers that be, which include my president, who chairs, Morty Shapiro at Northwestern, the one of the committees that is most important in the Big Ten movement. I'm thrilled at what's going on, but I stood up yesterday at a function, and I probably scared the hell out of people. When I said, part of me is worried. Part of me is worried while I'm thrilled with the actual execution of what the Big Ten has done. Part of me is worried that it's become boxing. And at one point, boxing was the second most popular sport in America after baseball. Baseball, boxing, horse racing. The NFL didn't matter. The NBA wasn't born. And the most famous people on the planet, not in America, on the planet, were the heavyweight champions of the world. Whether that's Joe Louis or Max Schmeling or, all the way up through Ali and even to Tyson. And what did we get after that? We got a lot of people making a lot of money, a lot of organizational stuff. And it went from heavyweight champion of the world to WBC, to WBA, to IS, whatever. And it's gone. Boxing's gone. Yeah, you can have a big fight every now and then. You would have big football games every week, too. But in terms of people don't understand the tradition of college football, the tribalism, these things matter to that sport. It's knowing the colors of everybody's school and your hated rivals. It's having those feelings that are regional and conference affiliated, which are about to be gone. So I don't know what it means. I don't think anybody knows what it means. I know, and Tommy, I know you have your feelings about this because you play college football. It's very important to you. It's been important to you. But if you don't have your rivals to go against, then doesn't it take some of the steam out of it for you? Because it does for me.
Yeah, I think it does. That to me was part – that rivalry is to me is a bigger part of college football than rivalries in the NFL, to be honest with you. That's personally how I feel. And I think a lot of that will be lost. the end of the day, I don't know what they're going to be and how many conferences there are going to be and how it's all going to be organized. I think they've got some difficult decisions to make going forward, for sure.
We are in total agreement. As a guy who has had college football season tickets now for probably 10 years and went to a lot of college basketball games working before that, I'm sort of emotionally invested in college football, but I don't know where this is going. No. I don't. And I'm not here to blame anybody. But, you know, what's this going to look like in 10 years? I don't think we have any clue right now as to where this is going.
Michael, before we let you go, I want to ask you about if you followed the KD situation over there. Now it seems like they're going to run it back and that KD's cool with it. And we spent 2 months talking about possible destinations for Kevin Durant with absolutely nothing happening.
Yeah, I think that we've gotten to a place with the coverage of sports and specifically the NFL and the NBA where my brethren are out of control too. I mean, sometimes you have to say, stop the hype. Stop. Stop saying, you know, we got all the answers about where KD's going. You have any answers? You have none. And just stop. And just step back, which is what people in media used to do when expressing some cynicism, and say, does this make sense? Does it make sense that somebody's going to trade their entire franchise for him? No, it really didn't. And I think I said to you guys I thought he would wind up staying in Brooklyn. I didn't have any feeling that it would wind up going the direction that it has specifically. But I wouldn't keep Kyrie Irving, even if I have Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons. What the hell am I Kyrie Irving for? He just got swept. They got swept with Kyrie Irving. I didn't have Ben Simmons. So do I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to be on their way to a championship seat? No, not at all. Do I think that Vegas will hype them? Vegas is part of the hype machine now. Just not odds and setting the odds, but just hyping teams unnecessarily and erroneously, like the Lakers last year that didn't make the play-in, much less the playoff. So I'm following it, but I'm not because it doesn't surprise me. And I don't know that I expect anything from the Brooklyn Nets this year. They might be exciting to watch on a few nights because they have that much talent on the floor, but does that seem like the kind of operation that is set up to succeed at the highest level of team play in professional sport? Not to me. Not at all.
Wilbon, enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy the trip.
Have a great trip,
Mike. It sounds like you're having a blast. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys on the other side.
There you go.
We'll be fully in the football.
Yes. There we go.
You bet.
Enjoy. There you go. There's Michael Wilbon in Ireland.
He was staying at the, what did he say, the Adair Manor? Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's where the Ryder Cup is going to be in 2027. Boyle texted us and said that to check it out.
I'm looking at it right now.
It's good to be Wilbon.
That's awesome. Good for him.
What does it look like? A castle?
It looks like a castle
with a golf course?
Pretty much, yeah. Looks like what you'd think it'd look like.
That's what I pictured.
Yeah.
It's a manor, right?
Yeah, I'm going to Dayton on Saturday to watch my wife play tennis. I think we're staying at the Hilton Gardens and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
So
you have now confirmed that you are going to watch her?
I am, yeah.
But you were undecided yesterday.
Well, I didn't know what the match time was. I can't go on Friday. Friday, we're out at Cousins.
Cousins in Tinley Park.
I'm going to get up early in the morning on Saturday and drive out. It's not that far.
Cousins Manor in Tinley Park. No, Cousins.
Yeah. Cousins.
In Tinley Park.
So, yeah. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah, join us. Did you see this? I didn't want to get into a fight like thousands of miles away with Wilbon in Ireland over the Bears.
Thought you were going to fight with him about KD. Like, KD had no options. What was he going to do? What was going to happen?
KD could have withheld the services.
And not get his money? Like, it's 40-some million dollars that you're just deciding. Like, that's where he's the one that set that all up in Brooklyn, right? Like, he's the one that made it all go in that direction.
With Kyrie.
Yeah.
But supposedly he's been fighting for Kyrie and hasn't liked the way Brooklyn has, quote, treated Kyrie. I, I, I still, Katie doesn't piss me off like he pisses other people off.
He doesn't piss me off either, but.
A lot of people, he gets under a lot of people's skin. I still like Katie.
I don't mind him either. Like, listen, use your free agency power. That's what it's there for. But he used that to go to the Nets, right?
Yes, it was his choice.
Right. And they gave you a contract that's worth $43 million a year? Okay.
And then he decided he didn't want to be there for it. Well, guys do that all the time.
I get it, but like it's...
Someone said the model that he used was... I saw this on Van Pelt yesterday. I was watching the Sky game, by the way. Congratulations to the Sky. They advanced, dominated right? that fourth quarter. Because I want to say it was down to a 5 or 6 point game. And then all of a sudden, they didn't miss. And they were dominant. And they won by like 20.
Defending champs.
Yeah, so they're on to the next, not in the next round. And so after that, Van Pelt came on. And he said that they were using, or someone, one of the NBA guys said, he was using the model of his idol, Kobe Bryant. Remember in 07, Kobe had me believing he wanted to come here. Remember with the trade? Trade me. Remember it was 99% sure?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the NBA guy who told us it was 90? Rick Bucher. 99% that Kobe Bryant would not play with the Lakers again. And then Kobe ran it back. He went back there. They acquire Pau Gasol, and they win 2 more championships. So... Guys have done it before. Like, KD isn't the first.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think he had a whole lot of leverage. I mean, most of the NBA guys do wield a ton of leverage. I didn't think there was a whole lot of leverage in this situation.
Especially with the Rudy Gobert trade, too. Like, think about how many assets were given up in that. And KD is, like, 3 times the player Rudy Gobert is. So it's almost like his value, he outpriced himself to a degree.
I thought the Memphis stuff, when the Memphis... rumors started over the weekend, I thought Memphis was going to pull that there was going to be a trade there because of the way Shams and everybody else was on it. Then you blinked, and the next thing you knew is, hey.
Well, it didn't seem like Memphis was willing to give up anything. They were circling like they were a shark blood in the water there, and they're like, we're not going to give you any assets. Memphis is like, we'll take Durant, but we don't want to trade anybody off our roster.
By the way, update for you. Cleveland Guardians now beating the Padres 7-0 in the middle of the
season. That is not good for the White Sox. Yeah. So the White Sox are playing here in a little bit. 5:30 pregame. Connor's got it. Well, we're going to take you to that.
Well, Cleveland Guardians, you know what they're doing? They're acting like a team that's in a pennant race, or a division race. That's taking care of business.
Well, the Sox got...
TCB, baby.
Taking care of business. The Sox got very lucky that the Twins weren't good enough, healthy enough, to know when to step on somebody's throat. Because the Twins had that chance when the White Sox continued to wander in July. And the Twins could have easily distanced themselves, and they kept coming back to the White Sox, no matter how bad the White... So I figured, okay, no one's going to want to win this. Eventually, the talent's going to... went out. Now, all of a sudden, the Guardians, maybe the Guardians are going to do the stepping on the throw. They started the day 5 games up in the loss column. If the Sox lose, it's going to be 6. This is a big game for the
Guardians.
White Sox.
If they finish off the Padres, again, they're winning 7-0 in the middle of the 7th, they will be 10 games over 500.
Is it Giolito today or
yes.
Lynn?
Yeah, Giolito.
This is going to be very interesting, too. After Giolito's last game and the way he's been going, with now the Sox, their backs are starting, the time's evaporating quickly. The lead is growing, time's evaporating.
Did you hear
what
last...
What you got?
Yeah, no, you're right. Last night, it was unbelievable to listen to Stoney talk about, last night was Cease, right? I mean, my brain. Mm-hmm. And Stoney was talking about what be on guard or be alert for a guy that's had a little extra rest or is working. What was he working on, an extra day or two?
Yeah, right, because he was supposed to pitch the game that was rained out in Cleveland.
And a guy that had been rolling, that with a little extra rest, he may be trying to pump the fastball and then it will get it. Stoney nailed, like, Cease maybe not being having his best stuff. Right. And it just went to me, it was just another example of, between Stoney and Jason, they have a better feel for this team than the guy in the dugout.
There's no doubt about it.
They really do.
And it's obvious.
They analyze situations as they are happening and before things happen, and you say to yourself, their logic is more sound than the logic coming out of the dugout.
Well, it bugged the hell out of me as a Cubs fan in 04. The same thing was going on where Dusty was letting that team run all around the place, dictate policy. And Stoney kept making these points that this isn't right. What's going on isn't right with the Cubs. But Dusty didn't understand it in 04, and this year reminds me so much of that. So this is a very interesting game here coming up for the White Sox, who if they lose, they could be six back in the loss column, and they could fall to 500. Just when you thought they were distancing themselves from 500.
They're about to be 4.5 back of the Guardians, who are about to win. And the Twins have got, are ahead of them at this point as well. I mean, not good.
All right, so we've got White Sox baseball. Thank you to Kyle Hendricks. It was, I thought, as good of a state of the Cubs as you're going to get from anybody in that organization. Kyle gave it to you. This is where the pros go. Wilbon was awesome today from Ireland. White Sox and Orioles next. Thank you to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.